لله بعد. يجب أن سؤمت يا الله سبحانه وتعالى مي سبحانه وتعالى أكثر تواقودك أمي سبحانه وتعالى وغلق أصوت كميس and make us all inmates of Al-Jannah. I greet our fathers here present and our mashayikh, and I greet every one of us present here, both males and females, young and old. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to complete the fasting of these blessed months of Ramadan. And may subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us as an act of ibadah. Our Sheikh, Sheikh Abdur-Rauf Ballu Abu Safiya Al-Athari, has spoken extensively and has really dealt with the topic given to him. We pray may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him abundantly and may he make it beneficial to us, the listeners. From what the Sheikh has said, he talked about the importance of marriage, that as human beings, we cannot live separately. The men cannot live alone, and the women cannot live alone. So we have to come together, we have to live as husbands and wives. And this is the purpose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Apart from the major purpose, which is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh read to us the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where it says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And that of the signs, that is the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the people who have thoughts, people who deliberate, people who think very deeply, that they ponder on is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making us males and females, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making us husband and wives. The purpose of this is litaskunu ilayha, so that when the men, the husbands, when they go out and they come back home, they can see tranquility in their wives. Which means a woman that is not a source of tranquility for her husband, such a woman has failed in her marriage. A woman should be a source of tranquility for the husband. Likewise, the husband should also be a source of mercy. The husband should be merciful to his wife. It's not a good husband, the one who does not show mercy to wife. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave some rulings that we have to abide by. Take for instance, as a husband, once somebody decides, that is a man decides, that he wants to go into marriage, he wants to have a wife, he must have it at the back of his mind that he's going into responsibilities. Not just to satisfy his sexual urge, but to also carry out some responsibilities. And that is what the Sheikh mentioned, the responsibility of feeding, clothing, accommodation. This, there is consensus on this. A man who does not feed his wife, who does not provide for his wife, who does not accommodate his wife, who does not clothe his wife, such a man is an unjust man. Such a man is not qualified to have a wife. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish him for this. So once you decide you want to marry, your intention should not be that you want to satisfy your sexual urge alone. your intention should be, I want to satisfy my sexual urge, but this has some responsibilities that I have to also carry out. So if one does not carry out that, those responsibilities, the person is found wanting. The person is sinful before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a message for us that don't just go after the sexual enjoyment. You should also be ready for your responsibilities to provide food, accommodation, likewise to also provide clothing for your wife. So the Sheikh mentioned this. So likewise, the wife should not see marriage as a way of just enriching herself. She has what responsibility that she has to carry out. So the Sheikh mentioned some of these responsibilities. One of the responsibilities is that a wife should be submissive to her husband. Most women are not submissive to their husband. When the man instructs them to do something, they don't carry it out. And it is binding on a woman to carry out the order of her husband as long as that order does not go against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is not beyond our ability, as the Sheikh has mentioned. So it is important for you to be a good wife who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is expecting to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala well. A good wife must be submissive. Some women, they see themselves on equal pedestal with their husband. So when the husband says one, they say two. So this is not a sign of good wife. A good wife is submissive, as Allah has said. فَصَالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ مَا حَافِظَ اللَّهِ. So the salihat, the righteous women, are those who are qanitat, those who are submissive to their husbands. So if a woman is submissive to her husband, such a woman is going to get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This reminds me of what one of our big brothers told me some months back. He said that his wife, since they got married for about 20 something years ago, she has never disrespected him for once. For once, the wife has never disrespected him for once. This is a sign of good wife. A good wife is submissive to her husband. But when a woman sees herself as, if you talk, I will talk. If you do this, I will do this. So such a woman is not submissive. And she's not a pious woman. So that affects her piety. So don't see your husband as somebody that when he talks, you talk. And this at times also affects the children. When the children see the husband and the wives, they see their mother and their father always having altercation, always having differences of opinion, attacking each other. This is going to tell on the children too. And we should be good parents, whom the children will learn from, whom the relatives will also learn from. So this is very, very important. So a woman should be submissive to our husband. This is a message that the Sheikh also points at. Fine, as human beings, we have what differences at times. So the way we undo this is very, very important. Now, the Sheikh also mentioned that some of the things that we do that lead to these issues between the husband and the wife, some of these things can be avoided. I always tell people, if as a husband you know your rights and you know your duties as a husband, and as a wife you know your rights and your duties, and you are always ready to carry out your duties, there will be little problem between you and your husband. There will be little problem between you and your wife, because each one of you knows his or her rights and duties. The Sheikh mentioned something earlier. Take for instance, a man who is married to two wives. One is tall and also plump somehow. The other one is not that tall, or maybe she's short. There is no doubt that the yards or meters of clothes that you will buy for this one will be different from this. If the other one is sees that the same yard that he has bought for the other wife must also be bought for her, there is no doubt that will be what? There will be trouble, there will be problem in that house. And this is not what is called justice in Islam. Justice is that you give everybody according to what? Their need. You give everybody according to their need. And the way Islam has even planned this thing, take for instance, the children, Islam, hang them together, bring them together. The wives are together. When a man dies, for instance, when they want to share the property, the bequest left by the man, the wives, if they are one or two or three or four, they will be treated together. It's either they are all or both sharing one eighth because of the presence of a child. Or they are all or both sharing what? One fourth because of what? The absence of a child. It doesn't matter who has born the child for the man, whether it's the first wife, or whether it's the second wife, whether it's the third wife, or maybe it's a wife that has been divorced, that is no more with the man that bore that child. It doesn't matter. As long as there are children, or there are children, as long as there is a child, a wife cannot inherit more than one eighth of the property. And if there are two, there are three, they are all going to share one eighth. While the children are together, they are going to share the bequest. Their own, they will have their own share, the zakari mithlu adil unsayin. The men will be taking twice what the female takes. So this is the way Islam has planned it. So when a man decides that he wants to take two wives, so the adl, the justice that is required, is to give each one of them according to what? According to their need. And that's why scholars, they also talk about the matter that the Sheikh sallallahu ta'ala spoke on. That is, when somebody is doing what they call fadlu, that is, you are giving your wife more than she requires or more than she needs, this is good. This is good. But the adlu is what matters. Scholars did not talk about, okay, somebody who is married to a daughter of a rich man, for instance. The lady is coming from a wealthy family, and there's another lady who comes from a poor family. Is it adlu to give them the same thing? Scholars, they talk about this. Some said it is adlu, it is justice to give them the same thing. Some said no, it is not justice. You give each one of them what they need. And definitely, the one that comes from a wealthy family, what will be sufficient for her may be what? Different from the one that comes from what? A poor family. So scholars will talk about things like this, and it is important that our females, likewise our males, that we go into this. Look at it critically, so that you will not be arguing for what you are not supposed to argue for. You will not be calling as your right what is not your right. So this is something that is very, very important. So we should also try to overlook. I will tell brothers, if you look at our parents, the rate of divorce in their midst is very, 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 very little. But when we look at us today, the divorce rate is very high. Even among those who are calling themselves Ahlus Sunnah. This is because we copy the West. What is not our right, we take it as our right. The men take some things that are not their rights as their rights. The women also claim some things that are not their rights to their rights. So, but when you go back to the Quran and the Sunnah, you know your rights, you know your responsibility. So when you are demanding for something as a wife or as a husband, the Quran has already checked you. You know that this that I'm asking for is not something that the Sharia has given to me. So with this, you ask for what? Exercise a kind of calm and caution. So it is good we go back to the issue of what? The issue of our marriage. How we can maintain the marriage, how we can keep the marriage. This issue of divorce is something that is very, very alarming in the society because we are not sticking to the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. So let us try to manage our differences. Let us try to overlook our shortcomings. As a husband, you try to overlook some things that your wife has done. As a wife, you try to overlook some things that your husband has done. With this, you'll be able to reach a kind of what? Reconciliation. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the verses of the Quran, that time will not permit us to be quoting. So, my message is that let us try to abide by what the Sheikh Hafizahullah ta'ala has said. So, finally, the Sheikh commented or said something concerning the area where women can be witnesses. Now, the scholars will say that the women are not witnesses with respect to things that have to do with punishment, al-hudud wal-qisas, things that have to do with the prescribed punishments in the Sharia, maybe something of zina, something of theft and the likes. So women are not witnesses there. But when it has to do with issues of wealth, money, they are witnesses. Or issues that pertain to women, that women are the people who know about this issue most. So they are considered witnesses. But when it has to do with issue of what? The prescribed punishment and retribution. So they are not witnesses. Where I'm going is that we should not confuse this with somebody who is a claimant or a plaintiff, a complainant, somebody who is complaining. Take for instance, if a woman sees somebody who steals, for instance, can she lodge complaints? Or we say what? Women are not witnesses. So a woman can be a complainant, she can be a plaintiff, just as a man can also be a complainant or a plaintiff. Then she will be asked to bring evidence. A woman can say it is so and so person that has stolen so and so. It is so and so person that has killed so and so. Then they ask her, where are your witnesses? So if she wants to bring up witnesses, women are not accepted as what? Witnesses in things that have to do with retribution or things that have to do with legal punishment, prescribed punishment. So this is what the Sheikh is talking about. Not that if a woman witnesses something, a situation, she cannot be a claimant. She can be a claimant. She can be a plaintiff. But the only thing is that when they ask her to bring witness, she can't come up with somebody who is a woman when it has to do with issues of punishment, because it's something that is very, very serious in Islam. But when it has to do with ordinary wealth, she can bring a woman as a witness. So, or when it has to do with things that have to do with the women, like the issue of height, issue of nifas. So, this is just the addition that I have on that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with this that we have had. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan.